told you earlier about a lot of changes. Michigan High School Athletic Association. We picked on football, but there are more changes than that. John Johnson joins us. Longtime communication director, the Michigan High School Athletic Association. John, have you ever seen as many changes?
Well, it's quite a raft. It's some things that have been in the work for a while. Mm-hmm. For example, some of the things in football with hitting, that is something that's evolved. The power rankings or the point values in football to determine playoffs, that's something that's been some time in the making, and the seeding has been several years in the making. But it all hit the funnel at the same time. Quite an interesting meeting up in Gaylord earlier this week.
Yeah. Well, let's start with football. I guess the besides the hitting, the big thing is this new playoff structure format.
Well, we had been working very hard with the Michigan High School Football Coaches Association to try to address, one of the biggest problems that folks have with the football playoffs, and that is the scheduling conundrum where people for too long have tried to game the system literally and schedule games so that they can make the playoffs, and mm-hmm. avoiding their neighbors, avoiding powerhouse teams, and doing a lot of things which are frankly uneducational. And so by doing some things to put the divisions in place before the season, narrower point values between divisions now. We'll have divisions instead of classes to a degree for the point values. Putting a premium really on how well your opponents do. We've always said for bonus points purposes, the best thing for you to do is to go 9-0 and have all of your opponents go 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
But now this will even be more so. And what we hope that this will do is that this will, if it doesn't put the brakes on, Greg, at least it'll slow down the crap that's happened ever since we started the football playoffs with coaches and schools gaming the system, breaking up leagues, breaking up natural rivalries, and, try to return some sanity. Play your neighbor, and don't be afraid to play somebody because you might lose.
Yeah, absolutely. What's been the reaction from the coaches?
What we've seen so far has been pretty good, because this is what they've worked hard as an organization to try to achieve, is to try to get something that's better, literally, than what we have, because no change that's ever been made to the playoffs has fixed anything except getting more teams into the playoffs. And so, I think the shouts for open up the whole football tournament to everybody, maybe even that will go away for a while, at least while you and I are around, to have something that, that's more balanced, that rewards those people who take those risks, who are willing to grow by the relationships that they build with their neighbors, who are willing to grow from losses in competition. So I think there's a lot of good things that will come out of this, and I think coaches are reacting like that for the most part.
Okay, what about Mick McKay pointed out Ludington finished 7-2 last year and wouldn't, under this format, would not have made the playoffs. That would be hard to stomach, wouldn't it, John, if you finished 7-2?
That's going to be hard to stomach for teams. Let's look at this more to the north, probably.
Yeah.
Than to the southern two thirds of the state, where you are more limited in your opportunities to play people. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that could be, you had 7-2 and you had to play all of your league games, you had to play all your neighbors, and your neighbors just had a rotten season. Some of that you can't overcome.
Right.
But it rewards strength of schedule. But I think we might see the tables turn a little bit towards those schools in more sparsely populated areas, because they will be the ones that will always have trouble getting schedules for geographic reasons and be forced to play schools that might be smaller than they are. And, that may be one of the consequences. We'll wait and see how that plays out.
Okay, what about, talk about this thud contact. This is interesting.
Well, Practice Like the Pros is kind of the title that this all goes under, and it's a movement that's, you know, it's literally come down from the pros all the way to the high school level. And what it does is it, you know, promotes the idea that there are things that you can do to simulate hitting, to teach tackling and blocking and other techniques, and do it all without full speed contact. And so what thud is literally, it's full speed. It's done in pads. Mm-hmm. It can be done with dummies and the blocking things that you hold on to. And there's a lot of things that you can simulate. But when two players go at each other in a thud mode, there's no winner, there's no loser, nobody goes down. As far as that goes. And what it does is it all falls into this category of risk minimalization. Because, you know, where the injuries occur in football is not necessarily on Friday night. It's the accumulation of things that happen over time in practices.
Sure.
And so by further restricting full contact now, which will be 30 minutes a week, once the season starts, and saying, you know, it's, you know, thud, you know, use that as much as you like. You know, we think that our teacher coaches have gotten so good now at, you know, protecting their kids while promoting their skills, that they can use thud contact, thud drills, all those kinds of things as a tool to get people ready for full contact on Friday nights.
So the council approved a limited video review of scoring plays in the state finals.
Yep, we've added football now to the sports that we do have limited video review of. The others, which came along about 7 or 8 years ago, I think now, are basketball and ice hockey. And when we started in, we'll just use basketball as an example, you know, we started that just to review end-of-game situations. You know, was a shot a two or a three, and did it get off in time? Those are the only circumstances that you can have video review in basketball, and there has to be zeros on the clock at the end of the fourth quarter or at the end of an overtime. For football, the situations where review can take place are fairly cut and dry. Any scoring play or potential scoring play, you know, let's say that kid's diving for the cone, and you know, you look at the replay and you said, "Oh, his knee hit at the one before the ball hit the cone." Any potential turnover, those are the times that it will be looked at. We'll have the benefit, obviously, of using, you know, professional grade video.
Yeah.
To look at from our friends at Fox Sports, and it will all be booth, initiated. No red flags on the field. guys on the field will just get buzzed if a play is under review, and we're going to put a very short leash as far as the amount of time to review a play. But if our guy up in the booth, who would be somebody who is already trained in video review, in other words, a college reviewer, takes a look at something and says, "Hey, we got to take a look at that," they'll buzz down, they'll quickly look at it, they'll tell the official, you know, play on, or you got to change it.
Okay. Talk about seeding now in basketball and soccer.
And talk about something that's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in the upstairs meeting room here. It had to be more than 10 years ago. And, you know, the conversations were starting about seeding. And, you know, they ranged from, you know, let's just keep the best two teams in the district apart to the district finals. So let's seed the whole tournament all the way across the state and everything in between. And so where do we end up at? Let's just keep the two best teams in the district apart until the district final. Mm-hmm. And what the council did, even though it was looking at different proposals from football, I'm sorry, from basketball and from soccer, said to both of those communities, this is how we're going to go. We're going to take the top two teams using the Michigan Power Ranking, which is a formula developed here. If people want to look at it, they can go to our boys lacrosse page on our website, because it's being used this week to help determine the seeds for mm-hmm. the boys lacrosse regionals, which begin next week. So you can see where your teams stand. And so 2 weeks left in the regular season, based on all the input that we've gotten from the regular season, and we think hopefully this will also promote folks getting scores into us. So that, you know, our website, that's one of the side benefits, will, you know, be a better resource for scores and records than it's been mm-hmm. Before. We know it works in football. They'll take a look. They'll see, okay, these are the top two teams by NPR. And then they will be blind drawn, Greg, into a line in each half of the bracket. So let's say, for example, that Jackson High is the top team in its district. Mm-hmm. Okay, you'll put the balls in the hat, and you'll draw out one, and you'll say, okay, it's two, okay, in an 18 bracket. That means, okay, they're going to go on line two in the upper half of the bracket. Okay, now Ann Arbor Pioneer is the second-ranked team. We draw, pull out a number, it says four. No, that's in the top half of the bracket. Set it aside. Pull it out, six. That's where it will be in the bottom half of the bracket. So it doesn't take it and do like it does in the NCAA tournament, where you say the top seeds are literally at the extreme ends
right.
of the bracket. It just puts them into the half brackets, and then you just blind draw everybody else into the bracket. So we keep that part of what we've had for so long, and it doesn't guarantee the top seed anything else. Not a home game, doesn't guarantee a top seed a bye. So it's a small step, but I think it does what, you know, a lot of people who have observed this for years have come around to the notion of, yeah, it's a shame sometimes that the best two teams in town have to face each other in districts right out of the chute on Monday night. Why can't we wait until we get them to the finals? And so this will accomplish that in soccer and basketball in both genders.
Yeah, I think that will go over very well.
And it'll give us a building block, you know, because there were a lot of other thoughts that people have, and the council said, hey, let's just start simple, you know, because yeah. you know they've always told every sports community, come to us with your best shot for seeding. And, you know, there was no sport group other than wrestling when they did it for team wrestling finals. No other group could get their poop in a group as far as that is concerned. And so the council grabbed the bull by the horns and said, okay, this is how we're going to do it.
Okay, a lot of other subtle changes, but could you address golf? What's going on there, John?
Well, golf, for guys like you and me, Greg, who constantly hit in the low 10s and 11s on every hole, we'll have that cap of 12 strokes okay. On a hole, and that's a pace of play thing to try to keep things going. But some things have been done now to allow the use of cell phones to be used for health and safety things. Say something happens on the course, you know, a kid trips, gets hurt. We're doing more with live scoring. That'll be a way to input things. It'll be a way to more easily contact game officials, rules officials on the course and get them out to a point on the course when there's a question about something that they need an interpretation on. And so, you know, we made some made some subtle changes there that I think will that'll work out fine for the kids on the links.
Does the honor system work in golf, Jim?
Yeah, we had a demonstration of it last year that showed that it didn't we?
Yeah.
In that one regional. It is a point of emphasis, and you know, there'll be more observing, more live scoring will certainly help that.
Uh-huh.
Because if people see, you know, something weird going on, it'll be something that'll be easier to challenge, because if you've been walking along with a kid and you know that he hit a six And all of a sudden, you know, you're watching your live scoring on your phone, and he put up a four.
Yeah.
It will add some accountability. The biggest problem, as you know, is that, and it grows up to be a bigger problem every day, you can't legislate integrity. But we have to depend on integrity for some of our games, and golf is one of them.
Exactly. Could you quickly address the new sports-specific transfer rule?
Well, that's been in play for a degree this year, where if you, let's say, if you were at a school A and then you transferred at the end of the season or even in season, you're not eligible in that sport at that new school for the next school year. So, in other words, if I had played, football at Western last fall, and then I transferred over to Concord and I didn't move, I'm not going to be able to play football at Concord next year unless I meet some kind of another exception. The other thing that's been added to that is that we're trying to still get a handle on the exodus that occurs in some programs when your coach moves from A to B,
and kids
follow from A to B. If you would have a corresponding move into a district to follow that coach, you're not going to be able to follow the coach. You're going to be ineligible for a year in that sport. You'll be eligible in every other sport that you didn't play. But it's all designed to try to keep some things like we see in particular that happen in basketball, where kids get connected in through non-school competition, and they want to get together and they want to try and pull a LeBron James. Let's pull together a super team, guys. And, it's a very real threat to school sports, and it's something that they talk about everywhere, Greg. This is not an imagined situation. It is very real, and it's across the country.
Yeah, normally you see it in the bigger cities, but...
In the bigger cities, yep.
But we've seen it. There's no doubt about that. Mark Ewell has taken over. How's Mark doing?
I think Mark's doing great. He's had the benefit of, one, learning from Jack Roberts. And, Jack and Peggy right now are somewhere trotting the globe because that's what they wanted to do when they retired. And if you ever want to follow Jack Roberts, folks, I think his blog is all over the map. He blogs about his travels. And so it's a very, very interesting read. But Mark has come in and has done all of the things that you would expect a new executive director to do. He's out and about. He's listening. If somebody said, what's the biggest difference between Jack Roberts and Mark Ewell? I said, I went into a meeting one time and I just surveyed the landscape. Take a look at the people in the membership that we were addressing and realize that, yes, this is the right time for Mark Ewell. And, not that anything bad had happened with Jack, but, sometimes change occurs at just the right time for everything. And I think Jack had a good handle on that. And Mark had been groomed a little bit on the insurance stuff and the legislative stuff and, has learned how to step into all of those roles. And, the good thing is when he came in, we didn't lose a beat because, it really wasn't that much of a shakeup for the staff. The staff was able to just keep on in all of their roles. And so sometimes you have that transition to a new director, and everybody's walking on eggshells for a couple of years. And that hasn't been the case here. It's been a marvelous transition. And, long-term, Mark Ewell is going to be marvelous for the MHSAA.
Well, busy times at the High School Athletic Association. John, appreciate the visit.
All right. Good to hear from you, Greg.
Take care.